Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
In this audiocast number 17, we learn that not all millennials are snowflakes. In fact, some of them are monarchists. So get ready for an episode all the way from Budapest, Hungary. Just sit back and
listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to a special Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, world traveler extraordinaire. And I know that sounds absolutely arrogant, but hear me out. When I say a world traveler, I'm not out going to, you know, like five-star hotels and living in luxury. I'm actually a pilgrimage leader, and I take people out of their pews and into this world. And I just happened to recently travel with host of SiriusXM 129, Gus Lloyd, of the morning show called Seize the Day. He and his wife and myself, we partnered up and we led 150 people through like five different countries as we pilgrimaged on a ship. It's more of like Noah's Ark meets, not the Love Boat, but a luxury river cruise liner. And it was an amazing opportunity to actually see the world. But you know what? You can take pictures of a building all you want. What you gotta do if you really want to quote unquote see the world is you gotta meet the people. And that's exactly what I did in this special episode. I was walking in the square late one night in Budapest, right in front of the Basilica and the Cathedral also of St. Stephen, the first king of Hungary. And I had no idea just how impressive Hungary really was. I had been there before about 25 something years ago, but this was my first time to really explore it as a real pilgrim. I went as a quote-unquote vacationer when I was a seminarian, but this time around, I actually had a chance to just walk out in the street, and right in front of this big, massive basilica is this huge open square with all the cool European, or they would say Eastern European, sidewalk cafes and restaurants, so super cool hip place. And there were a group of young people, millennials, certainly, I mean, they just looked like everybody else. They just had different styles of the millennials that we would have in America. And when I say millennials, a lot of times people think, gosh, you know, you're so critical of this age group. And sometimes I am, in the same way they're critical of my age group. And I'm 40-something years old. I'm definitely in the middle age category, so to speak. So what we need to do, instead of just judging each other, we need to actually talk with each other. And so what these group of people were doing was quite impressive, even though I had no idea what it was until I met one young man who wanted to explain what they were doing with a bunch of candles, with a bunch of people in this humongous square in front of a church, mind you. And he basically tells me that he wants Hungary to become a monarchist kind of rule again. Yup, in front of the basilica named after the first king, he wants to go back to a monarchy. And so that just got me thinking for this little amuse-bouche appetizer part of our show. What are some jokes about kings and the regal world? Well, here's one for you. When is a piece of wood like a king? The answer? When it's a ruler. Get it? And here's another one. What do you call it when knights get up and change their seats at the round table? Answer is the night shift. K-N-I-G-H-T. Shift. If you get it, just stick around for more Shoot the Shiitake when I meet a young man named Pap Mate from Transylvania, but a Hungarian who wants his country to return to a conservative monarchy? Yep, you got that right. All you got to do is just sit back, listen, and enjoy this deep dish discussion with me, Father Leo, as we shoot the shiitake all the way in Budapest, Hungary. This special episode is brought to you by Select International Tours, where they share your faith and they have the biggest difference of all, where they have compassion for the pilgrim and passion for the pilgrimage. And as a client of theirs, I am so excited to be a part of the way that they approach pilgrimages, not just simply praying all day in all of these ancient, historical, and by the way, beautiful churches, but by making sure we get into the world and meet the people and experience the culture where they are just big enough to do all the things that all of the pilgrimage opportunities should be doing, but also small enough where they can cater to all of the needs. And as a tour leader, I got to admit, I'm kind of picky. Guess what? Select International Travel has never let me down. So if you want to join me on a future trip or to learn about their other tours, all you got to do is go to selectinternationaltours.com or call 800-842-4842. That's again, selectinternationaltours.com or 800-842-4842. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion. And we are going to go deep into Hungary, in particularly Budapest. So let me set the scenario. I am at a restaurant called Republic Bistro and Garden, and it is right off of the square where St. Stephen Church is.
Basilica.
The Basilica. There you go. And as for my special guest, I've got a young man named Matt. That's how he goes by. Yeah. Matt is, just describe yourself. Give me your full name in Hungarian.
Yeah, my name is Pap Mate. I was born in Hungary. I'm a local. I'm studying in Budapest for 3 years now at the local university. Currently, I'm studying archaeology and history. So.
And you speak English really well.
Thank you.
Why?
I was 9 years old when I had the opportunity to study English.
Okay.
In the primary school.
But you practiced it, obviously.
Well, yeah, I have a friend in the U.S. He's half Hungarian, but he's American.
Okay.
So we talked a lot on Skype for three years.
Good. So the communication helped you to at least understand the language. And so, hey, by the way, we're at a place where there's going to be Hungarian traditional food with what they call a French touch. And that's kind of interesting for me because I'm all about fusion. And so we've got these lemonades. We've got a burger that's coming out. We've got chicken paprikash. What's your favorite kind of food, Matt?
Like a Hungarian cuisine.
Hungarian cuisine, which is what?
I like fried cheese.
Fried cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, you sound like a Wisconsinite, but that's another story. There are a lot of Hungarians in the United States. Perhaps like in the 1950s because of revolution and just people emigrated because they were losing it all. And here's the scenario, folks. Don't think that I just walk up to strangers and start talking to them. But actually, that's exactly what I did. So it comes from another person. Matt, can you explain how we actually got to know each other?
The last day we were doing a flash mob with my youth organization. Yeah, with the political party because today is 4th of June.
Yep.
And 98 years ago, that was the Treaty of Trianon, and Hungary lost its territories like 66%. And that's why we did this kind of flash mob to catch other non-Hungarian people.
How many people were in your flash mob?
I think it was around maybe 30 or...
30 people? And what did you do? Did you get out there and start dancing or have like a karaoke song?
No, we were filling plastic cups, different colors plastic cups.
The like Hungarian red, colors?
Yeah.
The red, white, and blue?
No, green.
Oh, green. Oh, excuse me. Red, white,
it's,
and green.
It's not France.
No, exactly.
Or the
United
Netherlands.
States.
Because the Netherlands is red, white,
so
and
you
blue.
Really were doing this red, white, and green.
Yeah.
to make Hungary great again.
Yeah, the greater Hungary, the border of the greater Hungary.
Now explain what that is, because you were all doing this in a flash mob. It was about 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I was just walking about with another friend of mine. We're on a little tour, and we saw these people moving these plastic cups around, and we're thinking, is this a game? Is this kind of like, I don't know what it was. So what were you trying to do?
We were trying to form the shape of the historical borders of Hungary.
So the original country of Hungary, which
borders.
Is now lost, 66% of it is lost,
exactly.
Which are now countries such as
Romania, Slovakia, Serbia, Austria, Slovenia, even a tiny piece of Poland, and also Croatia.
So folks, for people in America, first of all, our geography is pathetic, at least mine is, okay? I mean, it would be just like saying, okay, only the Midwest would be part of the United States, and we would lose all of New England, all of Florida, Texas, and California would be lost. And the only things that would survive be like Wisconsin and, you know, Idaho or something. I don't even know. Like Kansas. So that would be it. And so you're not happy about that.
Yeah.
98 years ago. So you are now part of a political party called the
Jobbik.
The Jobbik political party.
Yeah.
And how would you describe that? What do you all do?
Well, this party is a conservative party. If I have to put on some kind of part, you know, the
conservative.
Party. Yeah, it's conservative. It's
what
right
does that
winged.
Mean? Right wing conservative, because we have that in America.
Well, I don't know. Like in Europe, I think conservative means something different, like in the US. Or
I would imagine that, so tell me what that means.
We are really trying to care about our traditions, to being a bit more religious, because we had this 70 years socialism and communism in Hungary, and atheism and the politics against their religion were really, really high. And so most of the Hungarians has lost their religious beliefs.
What was the religious belief in Hungary?
It's Roman Catholic.
Oh, so you're Roman Catholic?
Yeah.
I never even asked you that, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to let you know, I was just walking around the front of St. Stephen's Basilica.
Yeah.
And there was just a bunch of people hanging out. We thought that it was a game. And I walked up to someone and asked, do you speak English?
Yeah.
And this guy goes, no, German. So, but he did it perfectly in English. That's the funny part. And then you walked up and you just started engaging me. And you were trying to explain what this was all about. And so I said, this sounds so interesting. I want to shoot the shiitake with you. And you actually understood what that phrase meant.
Yeah.
Now, what's crazy to me, and I have two questions related. You want to try to preserve your Hungarian culture, which also includes religion.
Yeah.
And almost a conservatism. That does sound American.
Yeah, in some way, yeah.
In some ways. How would it be different?
I think the Hungarian culture has its still, like, you know, old way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there is still
the old
these,
way.
Yeah, these villages where the traditions are really, really strong even for today. They are dancing traditional Hungarian dances for Hungarian folk. Music.
By the way, when he said villages, that meant villages, and I love that part about the language. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, in the U.S., there's no villages at all, just small towns.
They do have villages, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Actually, in Nebraska, where there are a lot of Germans, a lot of Hungarians, they consider them villages.
Yeah.
So that's awesome that you want to respect the original villages.
Yeah.
Now it's just all one big city.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you hope to do? Like, in this political party, first of all, are you on the losing side or on the winning side?
Well, you know, that was this election a couple of months ago.
Yeah, in 2017.
Two months ago.
Two months ago, okay.
That was the election of Hungary.
Okay.
Well, the party lost, sadly,
the conservative
election.
Party.
Who was? Jobbik. Fidesz has won with 2.7 million voters.
Voters.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Jobbik got, like, 1,070,000.
So you lost by about a million.
Yeah.
Okay.
More than a million.
Was that like a big defeat for you guys?
Yeah. Even our, not prime minister, but our president has resigned because he made a promise. If the party is going to lose the election, he's going to resign. And so he resigned.
So your party's president, your party's candidate, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And so he resigned. Now do you have a candidate then?
Yeah, we have now two candidates in charge.
Okay.
Two guys.
So you're, how old are you?
I'm 22. You're, I'm going to be 22.
You're
going to
be 22.
Yeah.
You're a young man and you're getting involved in politics. What do you hope for the Jobbik Party to accomplish? I mean, do you want to try to win back all of those former parts of Hungary?
It's not that. I mean, it would be really great and it would warm my heart, like, really. But the thing is, what we really want to achieve is actually to have autonomy for these Hungarians living in different countries, such as like in Romania or Slovakia.
Explain that to me. What's going on there and what's the problem?
Well, these people are still feeling the side effects of this Treaty of Trianon because they are suppressed by the majority, because they are the part of the minority.
Okay, so and the minorities in, say, like Slovakia are Hungarian.
Yeah.
And are they being mistreated?
Yeah.
In what way?
Sometimes they get beaten on the streets.
They're beaten on the streets?
Yeah, because they're speaking in Hungarian.
So that would be similar, ladies and gentlemen, if like an American from Texas started, well, not even Texas because they all speak Spanish, but like if someone from North Dakota just started beating up somebody in Spanish who was speaking Spanish just because in America we speak English.
Yeah.
Now, you speak English really well. And you were trying to preserve the Hungarian culture. It seems a little strange to me that you would even want to speak English. Does that make sense? Like, if I wanted to preserve my American, I would just want to speak English.
Yeah, sure.
But you're willing to speak English. What's up with that? You're like,
you know, if you want to like inform other people your cultures,
your culture, your
like situation,
your history,
yeah,
your tradition.
If you're trying to explain what is going on in Hungary, you have to speak in foreign languages to inform other people. So that's actually what our great Hungarians did, like Stephen István Széchenyi, who built the first bridge between Buda and Pest. He went to England to get information about the industrial developments and so on. So he hired a Scottish architect to design the first bridge between Buda and Pest. So he went all across in Europe, in France, as I know, in England, to get as many information as possible to achieve.
And did he speak English?
Yeah, I
so
think
he had to learn it.
Well, he was speaking in French because, you know, at the time, in the 19th century, French and German was like
the parties. I mean, the languages.
Yeah, it was the language of the continent.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was a very the Vulgate. It was just the common languages. It's the business language. For example, in aviation, it's English.
Yeah.
Everybody in the aviation industry has to speak English. And so your understanding of conservatism isn't to isolate yourself.
I don't think it's, you know, to isolate yourself. It's maybe to just try to protect our culture, try to protect our traditions against the globalism. Because
so you're not a big fan of the European Union?
Well, I wouldn't say that I am not really a big fan of the European Union.
Okay.
But as far as I know and as far as I experience, the European Union is trying to involve poor European countries into this union, and the wealthy countries take their industry and put into these poor countries. So, for example, we have a couple of other factories in Hungary, German factories like Mercedes-Benz, Audi, the BMW, like BMW.
Yep.
And we are producing German cars for maybe just only 33% of the same salary, which is, you know, paid in Germany.
Sure.
So we are working for less money,
sure,
but maybe the same quality or better quality.
And so you would rather have you all earn the same amount of money as everybody else?
Or I'd rather have my own industry, like Hungarian industry, Hungarian cars, because as far as I know, there is Hungarian buses in the United States called Icarus.
Icarus, I'm not familiar with that.
Well, I've seen some.
Sure, no, I believe you.
Yeah,
I believe you.
As far as I know, there is Hungarian buses.
Let me tell you what Hungary is known for in America, is goulash.
Yeah. I hope not for the porn sites or anything.
The what?
The porn side.
The porn side.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, porn side?
I just saw some maps like Europe across America or like, you know, what the Americans think about.
Oh,
Europe.
Oh, And so this would be actually Central Europe. Hungary would be Central Europe,
yeah, it's
right?
Central Europe. It's not Eastern European.
Sure, it's not Eastern Europe. You're definitely right in the... You're like heartland
Europe, yeah.
And you're not part of the European Union.
We are part of the European Union for 14 years now.
Hungary is part of the European Union, but yet you keep your own forint. You keep the forint dollar.
Yeah.
And the euro as well. I mean, like, you can pay in euros here.
Well, yeah, in some restaurants, but it does not worth it because...
Exactly. So it's interesting that you're part of the European Union, but you make a lot less money than your counterparts in Germany, and you keep your own money.
Yeah.
So that's kind of strange. But you're happy with that or what?
Well, you know, because of the salary, I'm not really happy. Because that's why a lot of Hungarians, approximately like 700,000 Hungarians, left the country in the past 10 years since we are part of the European Union to work for more money in the UK, in Germany, in Austria.
And in the United States.
Or in the United States.
Where I was just filming one of my TV shows and we went to Farkas. Is that a common name? Farkas?
Farkas.
Fark, okay.
It means wolf.
Wolf. Well, guess what? In Cleveland, they've got an amazing bakery. So while you thought I was going to say I knew Hungary and Hungarian culture because of the porn, I'm sorry, I'm not watching that. I was talking about their food, man.
Yeah, sure.
I was talking about the food, which is a perfect timing because they just brought out for us some food. We're going to take a little break. We're going to have a little bit of goulash. We're going to have a little bit of gazpacho, which is maybe the French touch. I've got some chicken paprikash and an American burger, Hungarian style, with a French twist to it all. How is that going to happen? I don't know. We're going to have to plate some grace here, which is the name of my organization. If you want to learn more, just go to fatherleofeeds.com. But I'm going to be back with Pop Mate. And that's your last name first, right?
Yeah, my family name is the first.
So because, so you put your family name
first. My surname is the last.
Okay.
So Mate is my surname, so it goes the last. So Pop Mate.
But you go by Matt.
Yeah, because, in Hungary, family first. So.
Whoa. That is awesome. That's a good thing to end on for this first part of Shoot the Shiitake. And when we come back, more with Matt, more deep dish discussion and what Hungary is all about. We'll be back in a moment.
Besides leading people on pilgrimages and tours, I go around the country and around the world giving people an experience connecting faith to the food that they eat, as well as the family gathered around their church's dinner table called the altar, and your dinner table, your family. And so if you are interested in booking an event for your parish, organization, or even corporate event to learn more about the inspiration and the theology of food and how to build bridges one meal at a time, all you've got to do is go to fatherleo.com and then click on events, and I will see you at your special event. That's once again, go to fatherleofeeds.com, click on events, and we can book a fantastic experience and take you on a pilgrimage, even if you don't have to leave your seats.
And we are back to Shoot the Shiitake with Matt. I am in Hungary right now. Just had a nice meal of the chicken paprikash French style. What did you think of that, by the way? Be honest.
As I can tell, from looking at the paprikash, it's not really traditional.
It's definitely not traditional. It's kind of dry, to be honest with you, right?
Yeah, maybe.
What did you think of the burger?
The burger was good. The meat.
You thought the burger was good?
Yeah, the meat was good. Awesome.
And
the
goulash.
Goulash was dry. Awesome.
Okay. But that's all right. That's just coming from the chef point of view. We're going to continue our discussion here on the politics, the tradition, and your family, and also just going to throw out a bunch of topics, and I want your opinion on it, because you seem like a very educated young man who wants to be a conservative, and you actually want to start your own political party.
Yeah.
This is really weird for me to hear a 22-year-old young man willing to talk to a bunch of strangers in front of a church, wanting to try to have a celebration to commemorate or to mourn the loss of 66% of your country. You don't necessarily want to have those parts of your country back. You just want to take care of your people who are traditionally Hungarian.
Yeah, partly, and maybe in the future we could take back the lost territories which were lost from Hungary, maybe, to repopulate it with Hungarians, and then doing a vote that which country they want to belong to.
Okay, interesting. And you want to create your own political party? How realistic is this? What would you call it, by the way?
I would like call it, firstly, Hungarian Monarchist Movement, and then maybe Hungarian Monarchist Party.
What got you involved in all of this? I mean, when we talked during the break, you mentioned how you actually don't come from a traditional family, mom and dad together in one tack. You're a product of a divorce when you were 1 year old.
Yeah, I was 1 year old when my parents are divorced.
And so your mother raised you?
Yeah, my mother raised you.
Was father in the picture?
No, not really.
So who was the male figure in your family to care of you?
Well, it maybe was my brother, because my brother was 4 years old when my parents are divorced. So he had this kind of experience, like, you know, how a good father is like.
What about your grandfather? Because your grandfather, you've mentioned him outside of the official interview.
Yeah.
You mentioned how your grandfather is a proud Hungarian, and you're a proud Hungarian, but in a different way or in the same way?
I think in the same way. So he's 89 years old now.
Okay.
So he experienced the time when Hungary was actually a kingdom.
Uh-huh.
Because before the Second World War, Hungary used to be a monarchy.
Okay.
A kingdom. And also, so he experienced how did it feel like the unification of the Hungarians living in the other
country. And that's now lost. And I think, you know,
well, we got these territories just partly, so we got these territories what were ethnic Hungarian.
So what would you be proud of as a Hungarian? What would be some of the maybe traditions? What is a tradition that you want to try to retain that might be lost?
I think it's our folk culture.
Your folk culture, okay.
For example, in the villages, like the villagers' tradition, which is really Hungarian.
Okay.
Because at the urban areas, like cities and
like a big city like Budapest that we're in right now, and you're a university student.
And they are living a big city life,
sure.
as I say.
Yeah, so. But I mean, I look at you, and you're dressed like a big city boy right now. I mean, you've got a T-shirt, so like, why aren't you wearing the shepherd's clothing of a Hungarian villager?
Because it's
villager.
Too warm.
It's too hot. That's the excuse you're using. That's right. Okay, the second thing about, like, Hungarian people. Who are some of the most famous Hungarian people that you would kind of be proud of?
Maybe you might know Joseph Golomb.
And tell me why?
Golomb Jozsef was the guy who designed the 4T model. Yeah, designed the 4T model.
So that wasn't even American, that was Hungarian.
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
The Rubik's Cube guy was Hungarian.
Yeah, Rubik Erne.
Uh-huh. And then Houdini.
Houdini, yeah.
He's Hungarian.
Yeah, Jewish Hungarian.
And Dracula.
Yeah, Bela Lugosi.
Okay, but he was Transylvania. Now, what's Transylvania's relation to Hungary now?
Transylvania is now belongs to Romania for 100 years now.
So Hungarians can be so proud that you might see yourself as more superior to who?
To the Romanians, or I don't know.
So, no, listen, we're just being honest here.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just be honest. So you guys have some politically incorrect jokes.
Yeah.
And so tell me about the Hungarian culture and in its relationship to the bordering countries. Who are your friends? Who are the Hungarian friends?
Well, we were sharing our history with the Croatians, and we have a really good relationship with the Croatians.
Okay.
We were in personal union with Croatia for 1,000 years.
Yep.
And we have kind of like the same culture.
Uh-huh. Yep, we're finished. Thank you. Our waiter just coming around to clear our plates. Very good. We appreciate the service. Delicious, by the way. We were at the Republic Bistro and Garden right outside, maybe a block away from St. Stephen's Basilica, talking to Matt here, and he's going to tell us who are the friends of Hungary and who are the not-so-friends with Hungary.
Yeah. Personally, I also like the Austrians.
You like the Austrians.
Yeah, and the Germans.
And the Germans.
Yeah.
Now, Hungary's language, are you proud of the language?
Yeah, it's really difficult.
It's unbelievably difficult. How would you describe it?
This is not an Indo-European language.
Okay.
That's why really difficult to Indo-European speakers, because the language, the grammar is not Indo-European.
Oh, it's very, very challenging, in fact.
It's Uralic, and the closest, I don't know, relatives to this language are the Finns and the Estonians.
The Estonians and the Finns, the Finnish people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like languages, and this is one that I can't get my mind wrapped around. But the people seem really nice. They're pretty traditional here. Yeah. In your opinion, is this country becoming more liberal in secular or religious and conservative?
Well, actually, that's really, really hard to decide.
Okay, go for it. Tell me why.
Because what I can tell you is the older generation is more like liberal, not that conservative.
Liberal, the older generation.
Yeah.
And the younger generation is?
Are becoming more conservative.
And when you say that, you mean return to the traditions
yeah.
of your grandparents' age, not your immediate parents' age.
Yeah. Exactly.
What was communism's effect on Hungary?
Well, communism is kind of destroyed the nationalism and, you know, the proudness of the Hungarians and the religious traditions in
Hungary. Are you a religious person?
Partly, yeah.
So what does that mean to you? I mean, like, when we met last night, I did not introduce myself as a Catholic priest.
Yeah.
Were you surprised to find out that you're shooting the shiitake with a Catholic priest?
Yeah.
Were you really?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, most people are. Especially since I don't necessarily look like a Catholic priest, but I'm dressed casually, so to speak. Are you religious to the point where you go to church? And how would you describe the religion, the spirituality of Hungary today?
I think it has to be kind of reformed and try to spread through the younger generations, because it's mostly the older generations are religious. And
like, again, your grandparents' age.
Yeah.
But your grandfather's not Catholic, right?
My grandfather is a Calvinist.
He's a Calvinist. So literally the German influence of Protestantism came all the way out here.
Yeah.
How many empires were kind of taking over? How many empires have taken over Hungary?
Well, the first was the Ottoman Empire.
Okay.
But it only took the middle. So now we are here in Budapest, and also Buda and Pest.
Pest are two different areas, yeah.
Yeah, were part of the Ottoman Empire. So that's why you can go to a traditional Turkish bath in Buda, because we have Turkish bath, which dates back to the 16th
century.
Okay,
dude, just real quick, I got to ask you, Matt, the Turkish baths, are people getting naked in that thing? Because I was thinking about going there, but I'm freaking out. Like,
no.
So they're not going to be freaked. That's just what you do. You go to Turkish baths, you hopefully have like your bathing suit on or something. Okay, so folks, if you hear that I've gone to a Turkish bath, it's legitimate.
Yeah.
Okay, so nothing, no hanky-panky,
no,
stuff.
No.
Shoo, not out to baptize that water. All right, so bless that water, make it all big baptism. So you get the Ottoman Empire. What other empires are there?
And later on, we became the part of the Habsburg Empire.
The Habsburg?
Because the Habsburg-Lothringian dynasty inherited our throne.
Okay.
Inherited Kingdom of Hungary. So then they driven back the Turks from the middle part of Hungary.
Okay.
So that's how we become part of the Habsburg Empire. Later on, we made this thing which we call Kiegyezés. It happened in 1867, which means we are going to form a dual monarchy. So Austria-Hungary was born.
Okay.
And after the First World War, we become independent from the Austrians, but the Soviets made their rule after the Second World War. So we were in the Warsaw Pact.
Tell me about the Second World War, because obviously a lot happened in the First World War that affected Hungary.
Yeah.
I mean, lost almost 60% of its land. What did the Second World War do to this country?
Well, the Second World War actually didn't really affected us at the first place. Our government was really focusing to get the lost territories back.
Okay.
And there was only two countries which were supporting our...
Your cause.
Yeah. It was Italy and Germany.
So Italy and Germany wanted you all to reclaim your land back.
Well, not all the land,
but some of it.
But the ethnic Hungarian land.
Okay.
So that's why the first Vienna Accords happened. First Vienna.
Oh, the first Vienna. Yeah.
Accords.
Okay. And then why did so many Hungarians leave?
The country.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah, just recently, even in the 50s, for example, there was a big kind of exodus that a lot of them even came to America.
Yeah, you mean like 1956, maybe?
Yep, exactly.
It happened because we had this revolution against the Soviets.
So the revolution against the Soviets.
Yeah, and a lot of Hungarians were executed or imprisoned by the Soviets and the communist Hungarian regime.
So now they come to America, and I know them for their food, and you said the porn. So that's ridiculous, but that's something I didn't know. Folks, please don't look that up, okay? So I'm going to just throw, and by the way, Matt is a very mild-mannered person. He is laughing. He's just not laughing out loud. Laugh, for God's sake. All right, so I'm just going to throw out a bunch of kind of moral things, and I want you to explain to me what the general sentiment is, not a young man who is a conservative, but just in general. Drugs.
I don't really do drugs. I tried smoking weed.
Okay, you tried smoking weed,
yeah,
but it wasn't your thing?
Well, sometimes, but not really.
So like, how much would you smoke, and would that be normal or less?
Maybe one time in a year.
Okay, and that's obviously very little, but here, is weed pretty prevalent?
It's illegal.
It's illegal?
Yeah.
Okay, prostitution.
Never, ever do this.
No, I'm not asking you, but like in Hungary and Budapest.
Oh, well, it's really common in Hungary. Yeah.
Really? Prostitution is common here.
Yeah, okay. And sometimes younger girls are kidnapped.
Yeah, that's human trafficking.
Yeah,
so there is human trafficking that occurs
here. Yeah, they are delivering younger girls to Germany or to the Netherlands.
That's disgusting, and there's got to be something to stop that.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw more out there. Abortion.
Well, actually, personally, I kind of supporting it because in Hungary, there's a lot of teenager mothers, and they are not really responsible, so that's how they got pregnant, I think.
Okay, interesting.
And I think in some way they can a little ruin their life, you know, to give birth to...
Would that be a conservative point of view, or is that just Matt's point of view?
I don't think it's kind of conservative. It's my point. It's kind of liberal, but at the same time, I'm conservative. I'm trying to be rational.
Okay.
So I supporting abortion because, for example, if my girlfriend got pregnant and I feel like I'm not prepared for to be a father.
Okay.
And I don't want that kid.
So, would you say that human life, I mean, from a biological medical point of view here in Hungary, would they say that human life begins at conception?
Birth.
Only at birth?
Yeah.
So up until that point, it's not a...
I mean, maybe after like 3 or 4 months.
Oh, okay. So that's kind of where people are here.
Yeah.
That's too bad because like even as soon as somebody knows they're pregnant, they say, I'm going to have a baby.
Yeah.
So it is still a baby for a lot of people. So there's a lot of confusion about that moral issue. Gay marriage.
In Hungary, we are not really supporting gay marriage.
Really? So you still support the man and woman traditional marriage, but are there laws that forbid them to do it? Like, can two guys get married here?
They can't.
They cannot?
No.
How about the gay culture? How prominent or prevalent is that?
Well, I think kind of. They have their own pride marching.
Okay, so they do have, like, ways to express. No one's getting beat up or anything.
Sometimes.
Sometimes they do.
Yeah.
Okay. How about the Catholic Church's place in society? Is it relevant, irrelevant?
It's not really relevant
It's
anymore.
Not relevant. No. What would you say is the problem?
The problem was the communism.
The communism really just kind of made the church into what? Like a puppet or what?
No, not to a puppet. It's more like tourist attraction.
Tourist attraction.
So usually people go to church as a tourist, not, you know, as a...
Not to practice their faith.
Yeah.
And what would you say would be the way you considered yourself Catholic?
Yeah.
What makes you Catholic?
I think it's my moral things that I don't do because I know it's not appropriate.
Okay.
So like I'm not stealing, I'm not lying.
But the abortion thing, you would still be okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of mixed. So I'm not that really, how do you say, like...
Religious, pious?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I believe in God and I think I'm a Catholic, but not that strict way.
Sure.
So in Europe, it's kind of more flexible to be...
Yeah, well, believe me, I lived in Europe for 6 years. I know it's flexible, all right.
Yeah.
You know, and if there's something that you want to say about the Hungarian culture, and because you obviously are trying to retain it, and do you get angry at secularism?
What do you mean by secularism?
Well, you tell me, because that would be almost, in America, the opposite of traditional. So what do you think about secularism?
Well,
modernization?
The globalism?
Globalism, yeah.
I don't really like globalism at that point, or like really.
Who is a better friend to Hungary, President Obama or President Trump?
It's really hard to explain because personally I supported Trump because I thought the US has to focus on smaller towns because as far as I knew, the U.S. problem was in the bigger cities like New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, the people there were more like Democratic, not Republican.
Where do you get your news sources from?
From YouTube.
YouTube?
Yeah.
Do you guys have fake news here? Hashtag fake news?
Yeah, we have.
Do you really? So yeah. There's a lot of propaganda even now.
Yeah, it's called the Hungarian TV.
So, the Hungarian TV.
Which is controlled by the current government.
And by the way, let's see, what kind of desserts would somebody get here if they were... yeah, thank you for the dessert menu, sir, but what would be a traditional dessert here in Hungary?
What do you mean by...
The sweet?
Oh,
the kind of like the dessert, yeah, or dessert. Or that's a happy hour
menu. I heard
menu,
like
sure.
Dessert or something.
At the end, like a pastry. Is there a kind of like a...
Oh, yeah, a cake. Maybe you should go for Gunda Palacinta.
Okay, Gunda Palacinta.
It's a pancake.
It's a pancake. All right, we're going to go for one of those.
Or Dobosh Torta.
Or Dobosh Torta.
It's Dobosh Cake.
Listen, we're going to have to write these things down. He's going to have to tell me what they are so I can put them onto my Facebook page, as well as the page for this, which can be found at fatherleofeeds.com/listen. My guest today was Pop Mate.
Yeah.
Also known as Matthew.
Yeah.
Just a young man, a stranger I met out on the street in front of a church, people. All right, so stop your ridiculosity. And he was putting together a big map of what Hungary looked like before the Treaty of
Trianon.
And so he would like to return things to a more traditional culture, not just in politics. You want to restore the monarchy.
Yeah.
And you also want to return to the traditions.
Yeah.
Like family life. You like that?
Yeah, the traditional family life.
The traditional family
life. To have a mom
life.
And father and a lot of kids.
Mom and dad and a lot of kids.
Yeah.
How many kids do you want to have?
At least 3. Well, it depends on my salary.
It depends on your salary.
I want to give everything to my kids.
Okay.
What I didn't get when I was younger.
Wow, that's very touching. Let me ask you one final question.
Yeah.
If you could preach to me, a Catholic priest, what would you tell me?
Maybe what makes you feel like you're really, really religious, or what does connect you with God? How do you connect to God, or something like that?
That's what you want me to be able to tell people?
Yeah, like spiritually.
Spirituality. So you want me to be better at connecting God to people.
Or just explain how they can connect it.
Basically, you're saying to preach better messages.
Yeah.
So not
maybe.
To be boring.
Well, in Hungary, they are speaking in Latin, so...
Oh, they say their mass in Latin here.
Yeah.
So you don't even understand.
Sometimes, yeah.
They don't speak it in Hungarian?
Sometimes they do. The Calvinists speaking in Hungarian.
Oh, the Calvinists.
But Roman Catholic priests are sometimes speaking in Latin and Hungarian mixed.
Oh, gosh. And are their homilies good? Their sermons, their message? Does it make sense to you?
Well, sometimes it's kind of... Brutal.
Brutal?
Yeah. I was attending at a wedding, and the priest was describing how a Hungarian soldier survived the Second World War, in the trenches. Because during it was really cold and it was rainy. He cuddled with his friend in the trench, so that's how they survived the coldness.
Okay.
And it was at the wedding, so it's kind of weird.
It was kind of weird. I think I get the point.
He was trying to
if you're together.
Yeah.
But it was not well done.
Yeah.
Was not well crafted. So what you would like to do is make sure that we craft the message of how God and people are to become one.
Yeah.
And how I think, from what I gather too, and you're going to hear more about this in the carryout order, how a true conservative has to also be a really good liberal. And why? We used an analogy off the interview about how if there was a tree, if you truly wanted to accept the true message of Hungary, you have to accept not just the roots.
Sure.
But even the branches and the fruits and the top of the tree, which are just simply the products of what it means to be Hungarian.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed this part. When we come back, I want to do my carry-out order. What did I learn from Matt? And by the way, as I just said that, Matt just started to kind of play with his mustache. It was like a Houdini mustache. You'll see it on the picture if you just go to my Facebook page at Father Leo Feeds. And more importantly, return when I give you my carryout order here on Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo. We'll be back in a minute. For our premium subscribers, people who donate $10 or more regularly, they will receive a special Shoot the Shiitake deep dish discussion, learning from leftovers, which is basically extra content to keep you inspired, as well as very specifically Catholic or Christian topics. And this week, for our premium subscribers, we're going to be releasing a topic called Discovering the Art of Living by speaker and consultant Paul George, who basically travels around the world helping people to understand what it really means to live. So we want to thank you, our sponsors, and share with you even more information. And if you want to help and become a sponsor, you can get great information like this week's special episode, Discover the Art of Living with Paul George. All you got to do is go to fatherleofeeds.com/listen and become of the Shoot the Shiitake family and discover the art of living. And welcome back for our deep dish discussion here on Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, and hope you enjoyed that very interesting and unique interview with Pap Mate. You see, one of the things that I learned was that they actually go by their last name and then they give their personal name. You know, every culture has a different way of naming people. Like, so for example, Barabbas, you hear of him in the Passion narratives during Good Friday. You hear, you know, release Barabbas, release Barabbas. That name is Bar Abba, which means son of Abba the Father. And that's kind of interesting because Jesus's name is actually Bar Abba too, but just the wrong, actually the right one. They picked the wrong Bar Abba. And so to meet this guy named Pap Mate, his name is Matthew, but he goes by Pape, which basically means Pope or Father. That just got me thinking of just how religiously influenced Hungary was. I was impressed, first of all, that this young man spoke English so darn well. I was actually kind of impressed with his mustache, too. And again, if you want to see a picture of me and Pap Mate, all you've got to do is go to my Facebook page, Father Leo Feeds. And then obviously, I post all of this on all of my social media. But the one thing that I was impressed with was this man's zeal for something, and that was just to retain his Hungarian identity. And what I want to do is go through a little bit about immigration, because this is a part of the world where, you know, listen, these countries are right next to each other in the same way Pennsylvania butts up right next to Maryland. And, you know, Pennsylvanians have a very different culture than Marylanders do and an identity. If you don't believe me, just take a look at how the football teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers, rival against the Baltimore Ravens. This is a veritable war, you know, to some degree. Or like the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, even towns can have rivalries. And so we have to understand that there are differences in the way people approach the world. And what's really unique is that Hungary is technically like in the center of Europe, but they consider themselves Eastern Europe because they want to be distinct from the bougie bourgeois of the Western Europeans. And so it's just an interesting dynamic, especially as it touches on our culture and the differences and how our world is becoming very fluid these days. You know, you could simply literally just cross a bridge and you are in another world. You're in another culture. You're in another country. And in the past, you needed to have a passport to get through to these different countries. And now with the European Union, they want to try to almost create a United Countries of Europe. That's basically what they want to do. And hey, you know what? I totally applaud those efforts. You know, so I am in a way very much in favor of a United Nations, as I am very critical of the United Nations, in the same way I would say United States of America needs to retain its sovereignty within its states, but also have to learn how to be fluid, to be subjected to the federal government regulations and rules. And so, especially in today's world, when we're talking about immigration, we have to be very careful with how we approach this, because it can't be one or the other. Folks, if you want to really be a great citizen of your own country and to be part of the human family, we have to do a both and. We have to realize that authority comes from something higher than a local government, and even a national government or even a continental government. It comes from God. And that's kind of what I appreciated here with this young man who wanted to preserve his culture. Now, do I agree with everything he says? Probably not. But listen, I just met the guy. Give me some credit. Give me some credit for at least willing to have a discussion with someone who's very different from me. And what he shared with me was that he wants his country to return to a monarchy. And why? Because a king gives identity to their people. So a king and a queen, by who they are and how they comport themselves, gives identity to their entire people. And so for me, politics aside, but I'm going to dabble into it a little bit because that's what it means to shoot the shiitake with me, we have to ask ourselves, where do we get our identity? Where is your identity? Who gives it to you? Well, it's a combination of both nature and nurture. Nature meaning, you know, the genes, the hereditary qualities that we receive from people who are above us. And then nurture is all of the other external surroundings. So you've got your cells, you've got your DNA, that gives you your nature. And the nurture is the situation in which you find yourself, the surroundings. So you, if you grow up with very rich blood, but you grow up in a very poor neighborhood and you don't realize that you're actually from like a royal line, you might not realize that you actually have dignity and you can act like a poor peasant. Again, and when I say poor peasant, I'm not making fun of people. I'm just saying that they would probably not know how to hold a fork and knife in the same way. Like if you were a Caucasian, but you were raised in Japan, you would be eating with chopsticks, not spoons and forks and knives. But that's just the whole point of nurture and nature. And I ask this question for me because when I am trying to figure out my carryout order after I meet someone like a Pop Mate, I've got to ask myself, what was his objective? And his objective was to literally return to traditions. And so that's another thing that I wanted to kind of learn from is traditions. And this word is oftentimes used or viewed very negatively. And that's unfortunate. That's really unfortunate because tradition is part of the nurture, the who we are. What did we receive? Where did we get all of this stuff? Well, we got it from what was tradare, which is tradition, what was given to us over tra, over time, over a period, over a space, like you transport in time or you transplant, you move from one place to the other. What were we given? And I think that the reason why this young man is more zealous to return to tradition is because he might find himself, like many people in today's modern world, not knowing their roots, not knowing where they come from. You know, in this country in particular, you know, especially in Eastern Europe, there is an influx and a real challenge when it comes to immigration. So Americans, if you think that immigration is a difficult thing for us here in America, well, try going to Europe. I mean, it's really challenging. But this whole understanding of immigration just got me thinking, do people have a right to just simply go into a country that they're not, by nature, a part of? Well, yes. And no, again, I'm a very both and kind of guy. And you're going to think, God, Father Leo, you just pick a side. You're so wishy-washy. And you know, the side that I choose to be in is in the middle, where I know I'm going to get critiques from the left as I am from the right. But the reason why I say people do have a right is because it's by the dignity of being a child of the King of Kings who doesn't belong in one nationality or the other. God created the world. Jesus is the savior of the stinking universe, for God's sakes. So I can go wherever I want. And I do have a right to the dignity that's afforded me by who I am, by my nature. I am a child of the King, for goodness sake, so back off, you know? But when it comes to nurture, it also means that I also have the responsibility to make sure that if I am entering into a different culture, that I have to develop an understanding of that culture. I have to make that culture what nurtures me as well. You know, so let's take, for example, the Caucasian who is white, but say raised in Japan. If that person tries to come into Japan and say, you know, I'm white and that's my nature and therefore I'm going to try to live my world as a white person exclusively other than the Japanese culture that I find myself in, then it's just not going to work. It's just not going to work at all. You're going to find this war between your nature and your natural nurturing environment, your experiences. So what we've got to do is, if we really want to approach this immigration conversation seriously, because I had conversations not just with Pop Mate. Sometimes I wish I had my recording device on 24/7 because I meet awesome people and I have crazy exchanges. But a lot of the people I met in different countries in that part of Europe, they all expressed a great worry slash fear of different cultures coming into their country and changing their culture. And some of their culture might need to be changed, but at the same time, some of it needs to be completely respected because that's what made those countries great and awesome and worth visiting in the first place. So I just think that we need a lot more balance between this idea of keeping our countries and our culture exclusive to ourselves and learning at the same time how to be influenced properly by immigrants. At the same time, immigrants need to realize that if they come into another country, they can't make that country that they're going into the same as the one that they left. I mean, because in that case, then why did you leave in the first place? Well, they might have left because they were trying to find a place where they can retain their dignity as a person. You know, I look at a lot of the refugees who are leaving their country because if they stayed, they would be killed. Do they have a right to live? Absolutely. Do they have a right to live in different countries? Yes, they do, as long as they can demonstrate that they want to enculturate into that country. In other words, they need to keep their nature as a whatever, an immigrant or as a foreign person, but they also have to adapt to the nurturing environment around them. So really, really challenging topic. And, you know, I was thinking about all of that. I was talking to Matt Pop Mate. You know, the other thing that I was kind of impressed with was his ability to speak English so well. And it just got me thinking of how much Americans are a little bit of an island, just a big island, you know, where we don't necessarily see ourselves always as part of a global community. And I know we do. So don't be like sending me hate mail at fatherleofeeds.com. But you can send your disagreement. The fact is, Americans can sometimes be a little insulated from the rest of the world. You know, like if I go to Europe, I will meet just young people who can speak three or four different languages. That's pretty stinking impressive, folks. You know, I was actually at a restaurant slash bar tasting their wines there, their Tokai wines. Oh, so tasty. But I was just talking to some of the crowd there, young people, and they were literally going back and forth from Hungarian to English to French and Italian. And it was just really impressive. So what I just think about America is that we can't live in an island. We kind of have to explore our horizons. And that makes us not only good American citizens, but also reminding us that we are part of a global community. And granted, we might not have those experiences because America is so big. But just if you think French Canada above, you know, their national language is still French, even though a majority of them don't speak it, except for in where? Very traditional towns, this conservative town kind of thing. You know, like when I go to Quebec, and believe me, Quebec is so awesome. I love going out there. They speak French, and yet they're part of a global community, which is why many of them speak English as well. And I just find that impressive. And if I were to go, say, in Texas, so many of our brothers and sisters there speak Spanish just because of their descent. So what I wanted to do in this learning my carryout order from this deep dish discussion is simply remind myself of who I am and who is my king, who is my queen. And if that's the case, I, by my nature, have to demonstrate that very dignity. Yet at the same time, my job is to enter into this world, and no matter where I am, I've got to get part of the culture that nurtures me. And that's why, you know, as a secular institute priest, while I certainly enjoy celebrating Mass and doing all of the things that a priest would do, say like in a church, I also have to enter into the secular world and remind people of who they are. They are children of the King of Kings as well. They are children of God, the beloved Father. We are his beloved children. And that's why I just love being Catholic, remember? The word Catholic means universal in the Latin understanding. In the Greek, it means fullness of spirit. And that means that we are not limited to just one place or another. When you go to a Catholic church around the world, that is the most amazing thing. No matter where you are in the world, if you go into a Catholic church, guess what? You're going to feel at home. And granted, there might be some little differences, but you're going to know you're in a Catholic church, and you're going to feel like those people sitting around you are our brothers and sisters. That's an amazing gift for all of us to consider here on Shoot the Shiitake. As I was just thinking about my experiences of this young man and how he wants to return to tradition, how he wants to make sure that he never loses his Hungarian identity. And believe me, the Hungarian people have super much to be proud of. I mean, what an amazing culture. I want to go back there. In fact, guess what, folks? I'll be filming there some of my shows of Savoring Our Faith on EWTN. In fact, before I even arrived in Hungary, the producers at EWTN sent me a link because they actually dub my shows in the Hungarian language. And the Hungarian language is, they'll even admit it, really strange. It's a combination of like European languages and Finnish, you know, and it's just a hodgepodge of things. And so to see me cooking on their network and having some Hungarian voiceover, so hysterical. It's so hysterical. And actually, when I went to the studio prior to the trip, I actually saw a picture of the guy doing my voiceover. Totally makes me sick. He's like this super tall, good-looking Hungarian young guy, and I'm like this dumpy little short Filipino guy. So talk about a clash of cultures. But you know what? Food brought us together. So their chicken paprikash, hey, it doesn't matter what language you speak or what color skin you are, you're going to find it delicious. And if you share from the same bowl, you basically are family. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? If you are eating of the one bread and drinking of the one cup, guess what? We've got royal blood in us. And this is a royalty that goes beyond nationalities and even beyond universes and even beyond time. Because as Pap Mate reminded me, we are children of a universal king. His name just happens to be Jesus Christ. And Jesus was such a great companion for me on this trip to Budapest that I met some incredible people who I can now call my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I hope you enjoyed this special episode of Shoot the Shiitake, where we talked about some deep dish things here, from immigration to who we are to basically reminding ourselves of what we're called to be. We're called to be citizens, not just in this world, but in heaven. So between now and the next time we hear from each other, I hope you enjoyed this Shoot the Shiitake. And between now and then, stay hungry. We hope you enjoyed this special episode brought to you by SelectInternationalTours.com, where they share your faith, where their travel differences, compassion for the pilgrim, and passion for the pilgrimage. And if you want to join me on any of my tours with Select International, you can simply go to FatherLeoFeeds.com/travel or call 800-842-4842 or visit SelectInternationalTours.com. And if you enjoyed this show, we want you to be part of our Shoot the Shiitake family by being a subscriber on any of the major podcast platforms, being a sharer. Basically, send this link of this show to anyone you know, family, friends, parishioners, priests, ministers, you name it. They can all experience a conversion if they're willing to have a conversation. And of course, by being a supporter with just $10 each month or more, you receive premium content, awesome extra information, where we can definitely get rid of all the bull shiitake in this world and create a place where conversion happens one conversation at a time. So all you've got to do is go to fatherleofeeds.com/listen and become part of our growing Shoot the Shiitake family.